The views and opinions expressed here on the Pensacola Expert Panel are not those necessarily of News Radio 92.3, 1620, but those of Terrence A. Gross of Gross & Schuster, attorney at law.
.10:35 here at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning if you're just tuning in. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning, and we get to say good morning to our friend Terrence A. Gross. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be with you. And most people know me by now, but I've been practicing for 41 years. And we have five offices throughout Northwest Florida. Our prime office is Pensacola at the corner of Palafox and Cervantes. Many of you have seen it. It's a historic building. Glad to be there. I have my two sons in with me. I have my son-in-law with me. And we're just glad to be serving the people. We're local. There's a lot of lawyers that advertise in this area, billboards and TV ads that are not from this area. But yet they're hammering the public with ads and billboards. But anyway, so every day or every time I come on, I have a topic. And the topic actually came about because I just got an administrative order this week. And I was going to share with the audience what the order said because it relates to all of us. Judge Shackelford, who's our chief administrative judge, has just opened the courts starting June the 1st to civil jury trials. So we've been closed, since last March. So there have been no civil trials. There's been probably a few criminal trials because that has to go on because of constitutional time limits known as the speedy trial rule. But on personal injury cases, there are no time limits. And we were just told to sit in the back burner, take a number, and whatever. So now we're going to start opening them up, but it's going to be a slow process. I doubt very seriously that many personal injury cases will be tried in 2021 in Escambia County, Florida. I think as we start setting trials, the judges are so backlogged that we're going to see them pushing those trials into 2022.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Well, it is a lot, but let me just go over jury selection to tell you what the big problem is, because people want to know, can't you do things virtually? And they've been doing divorce trials all along, but divorce, you can't have a jury. So all divorce trials, according to our Constitution, are by judge. So they've been doing, I got divorce lawyer friends of mine that they're doing the same thing. They go on Zoom. You can see the judge can see you, the judge can hear you, your client gets to testify, and all that. So it's a trial, it's just a remote, Zoom trial, and those have been going on. I'm sure some criminal hearings, bond hearings, arraignments, have been certainly been going on with Zoom. We've had hearings. I've had, motions, where you make a motion for summary judgment or a motion to dismiss or a motion to compel. The judges have been hearing those pretty readily by Zoom. In fact, I got a prediction. I think Zoom is here to stay. I've been watching the stock. I've been wanting to buy it. It went up so fast, I missed it. And it's been pulling back, and I'm still watching. But I think in the legal system, Zoom is here to stay. And I'll give you a small example. My office, like I said, is at Palafox or Cervantes. I'm only a 5-minute drive to the courthouse. But if I want to go to a 15-minute hearing, here's what I got to do. It takes a while to find a parking space. As anybody knows, down in downtown Pensacola, parking spaces aren't always easy to get. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, once I park, I got to go through security. If you haven't been in the courthouse in recent years, it's pretty much like airport TSA security. They got the whole wands, and you got to go through the metal detector, and you got to get into your pockets and take off your belt and do all that. Sometimes there could be a line. If people get backed up, you're waiting to go through, and then whatever. And then, of course, I always want to be a little bit on the early side of the judge. You never keep a judge waiting, so I'd rather wait 10 or 15 minutes to keep a judge waiting 1 minute. So I always give myself enough time. So for a 15-minute hearing, I could spend an hour, hour and a half by the time I check in, park, get in, sit, wait for the judge. The judge is running late, then you're running late, and then you have the hearing, and you got to go back. So that's a lot. But if it's Zoom, you just pull it up on your desk, and if the judge's running late, they'll let you know, and you just sit there, and you know, you're in the waiting room, and when the judge is ready, meanwhile, I'm still working at my desk while I'm waiting for the judge, and then the 15-minute hearing is 15 minutes of my time, not an hour, hour and a half. So I think we're going to start seeing more of that. I think the judges like the Zoom hearings. I get a feeling that they are going to have a bias towards it. So I think even on routine matters that we used to always go live, I think we're going to see less and less of that. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I mean, I like the in-person idea a little bit more just because of you can express yourself better when you're in person. I feel like people can read your demeanor. I don't know. That's just for me. And I'm an in-person. I feed off of other people. So that's just for me. But, you know, if people feel more comfortable on Zoom, then go for it, I guess.
Well, we're doing a lot of depositions. You know, we have I have a defendant in a case that actually killed my client, and the defendant's in Arizona.
Oh, no.
So in the old days, you know, you maybe have to fly out to Arizona, get a motel, airfare. We did it by Zoom. I could see her. She could see me. I could see her facial expressions. And it was Zoom. But I would say this, with jury trials, you can't do a jury trial by Zoom. So I've been talking about judge trials, but jury trials, with all the jury selection, and it's too arduous. So there's no such thing as a Zoom jury trial. And like you said, even with that, I've been thinking about, I don't even know the parameters. Are the judges going to require masks?
Right.
Well, I'd hate to be in front of a jury the whole time with a mask on. A, hard to breathe, really, you know, for long periods of time. Two, to speak, will my voice be heard? Will it be muffled? And also, you want the judge, you want the jury to they're looking at you. The jury is not only weighing the credibility of the witnesses, they're looking at the lawyers, the facial expressions, trying to pick up something. Does the lawyer really mean what he or she is saying?
Right.
And then when it comes to witnesses, I'd hate to be cross-examining a witness with a mask on because there are facial expressions. And by the jury instructions themselves, the jury is told, ladies and gentlemen, jury, it is your duty to weigh the evidence.
Right.
You can accept or reject any and all evidence. So they're, if they think a witness is lying,
right,
they don't have to factor that in.
Sure. No, I.
And if they yeah.
Well,
so
I think that
all
we,
those things are important.
I think we've hit a hot topic. We actually have a caller on the line from Gulf Breeze. Bruce, welcome. Good morning. Do you have a question for Terrence?
Good morning, Janice. Bruce from Gulf Breeze. Great show. I always do like listening to Terrence. This isn't a question for him, but just a comment on a few things that he's already commented on. One, with respect to Zoom, and I realize a pandemic has caused us to make a lot of changes, and in many cases, changes for the better, making us a little more efficient in the way we work.
Mm-hmm.
But with Zoom, I'm somewhat concerned with the use of Zoom for legal proceedings in the sense that there has been some Chinese influence with respect to Zoom. As a matter of fact, the Department of Defense does not use Zoom at all because of that. Chinese are big on intelligence gathering, gathering personal information about Americans, and I fear that could become a possibility if legal proceedings occur with Zoom. That's just a statement of fact. The Chinese are involved with a lot of intelligence gathering. As a matter of fact, around our military installations, we're very concerned about solar panels that have been made in China because they have been found to possess components or elements that are related to intelligence gathering of our, say, our airfield-type operations, our aircraft operations around many of our air stations. And then the second thing about the masks, and I agree with Mr. Gross on masks and cross-examining and all those sorts of things, and I'm not a lawyer. But I know I was watching the Chauvin trial yesterday for just a short while, and I noticed although the prosecutor and defense attorney were wearing masks when they were sitting at their respective stations, but when they got up to question a witness, they did take off masks. And I think that's an important aspect of it because, as Mr. Gross stated, facial expressions are very important.
Yeah.
So I'm done talking. Just thought I'd make those statements.
No, I appreciate you.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate you calling. Thanks. And anybody else can call. What number could they call at if they want to join the show?
Oh, yes. If you'd like to chime in or you want to text me, 437-1620. I appreciate all the opinions, and I agree with you. Facial expressions are everything. And to tell you, so I have to share this really quick in less than 30 seconds. Recently, my mother-in-law was rear-ended pretty hardcore by a delivery truck. And so she is from the Philippines, and she had to do a Zoom deposition, and it was very, very difficult with just the language barrier across the board having to do that. So it's really been prolonging this entire case. So in person, it's just easier because you sit there, you can kind of just relive, you can have her reiterate. But on Zoom, it can start to become frustrating, and I could tell that from the individual giving the deposition. So, it's just having both options back will be beneficial. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it should replace everything, but I think we'll just see more. But I just don't think it's going to go away.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I think something like DocuSign. We're doing DocuSign
right.
a lot.
Right.
I don't think it's just going to go away. I think people have gotten used to it. And, I just got my insurance renewal for my insurance, DocuSign. You know, it has nothing to really do with COVID because I used to just mail it to me and I'd sign it or email it. So I think what we're starting to see is just with technology, but there are dangers. So let me tell you one of the dangers in the legal system. He mentioned the Chinese influence on Zoom, which I've heard that. I don't know how much it would be or how much we really care about that on a personal injury case. Now, if it was some other type of government security case, maybe so. But anyway, what goes on now is, let's say I'm taking this lady, the lady in Arizona. Normally what we used to do in the old days, if I wanted to take a remote deposition in Arizona, you had to get another court reporter sitting there in the room just to swear the person in, the live swear-in, even though the court reporter in Pensacola is going to take the testimony. They've relaxed the rules for that. So what we see now on Zoom is the person holds the right hand up in front of the Pensacola court reporter. The person's maybe in Arizona, but you could see them. And they're swearing in. So they've relaxed the rule that you no longer have to have a physically live person over there. And I don't think it really changes much if you think about it, because you can still see them and they're still swearing. There's
right.
just nobody in their presence. They've relaxed that one rule. I think that rule is going to stay that way. I don't think they're going to go back to the way it was before. So that's what we're going to see. I think it'll move the court system. I think the judges want it. I think they feel they could be more efficient, less cluttered. I've been there on days back in the day. I don't go as much as I used to, but back in the day, I was a young lawyer. I did a lot of divorce. You'd go into the judge's chambers, and it was like Joe Patty's. I mean, it was just packed and a lot of people, and sometimes there wasn't even a chair to sit down in, and some people brought their babies because they didn't have a babysitter, but they were called to court. So they got, you got a three-year-old and a one-year-old running around, and kind of like mayhem and whatever. So I think we'll start seeing. But again, yeah, the jury trials, you can't do that remotely. So we will definitely go forward with that. The problem with jury trials also is you got to pick from a pool of people. And normally in Escambia County on any given Monday, if there was not COVID, They would subpoena 200 to 250 people to court, and all those people are put in one room. You're in one room together, usually elbow to elbow. They may show you a video just showing you about the system, and here's this and that and the other. And then someone may give up, like the clerk of the court, and give a 15-minute little lecture about this, this, and this, and rules, whatever. And that's pretty commonplace. Well, you know, with, even with the COVID, right now, that's a little unwieldy. And I think what they're doing, I think I picked up in the order was something different, because I've always picked juries on Monday mornings. And they said personal injury lawyers will pick on Tuesday mornings. So I'm guessing now, I'm going to guess, that they're going to let criminal jury selection go on Monday morning, so all the jurors for criminal will be on Mondays and on Tuesdays, personal injury. So if they can see that there's only going to be one or two personal injury cases that week, then they don't need to bring in 200 people on a Tuesday. They bring in 60. It usually takes about 30 people to sit in a courtroom so that the lawyers could try to get six or seven out of that 30, because some people are going to have conflicts. Somebody's going to say, I was just rear-ended, I got a personal injury lawyer. Well, they may not want that person on this jury. Someone's going to say, my mother just died, I got a funeral tomorrow. I don't think they want that person. So some people just fall by the wayside. Somebody may not be feeling well. Somebody says, I'm a one-man shop. I run my own store. I got no employees. If I'm sitting on a jury, I have to close my store.
Right.
And the judge may let that person off for that reason.
I mean, that's something to take into consideration. Or some people, yeah, I'm sure there's people out there who just don't feel comfortable being around so many people, or they have like a compromised immune system these days. You know, there's so many different factors that come into play.
And more people are getting vaccines. So by June, I know, of course, I think I saw the governor's order, but I think coming up real shortly, they're going to open up to everybody, but not everybody's doing it. You know, I think a good percentage of the population, I think 70% of the seniors got the vaccine, some didn't. There's still some people that are opposed to getting it. They don't trust it, you know, because it was sped through and they don't know the repercussions and they're a little worried.
Right.
Some people have already had COVID and figure they don't need the vaccine for all kinds of reasons.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My daughter's pregnant, and of course she's not going to have the vaccine while she's pregnant.
Right. I mean, I know people who are pregnant and they can't wait to get it. So everybody, I guess, has their own different opinion. I also know several people who their religious affiliation and ties, they do not allow it whatsoever. I mean, everything from tattoos to cutting your hair to nail polish, nothing foreign is allowed to touch your body. So there's a lot of different reasons too. But, you know, being a clean and considerate person helps not spread viruses as well.
True. And I've had the vaccine. And so if I go into a Publix or Lowe's now, I'm not really worried about myself, and I wear a mask out of respect for others. So I don't really care if the governor suspends the mandate or not. If I go to a public place, I'm going to wear a mask out of disrespect for others. I don't want anybody feeling uncomfortable. In our office, I had a lady come in yesterday, and she sat down. I had a mask on. She had her mask on, and she goes, do you mind if I take my mask off? I said, I was hoping you would ask. She's 15 feet away from me. I've already had a vaccine. She took it off, and it was just easier and talking and whatever. But again, it's still out there. We have not won the war against COVID. We've turned the corner. But anyway, all these things are happening. So the court is going to be very careful when they open June 1st to have many protocols. I don't think it's just going to be open and it's going to be the same old game that we used to play. But like the gentleman said, I couldn't imagine cross-examining a witness with a mask on, especially him, because the jury is supposed to read facial expressions. If someone looks like they're lying, I mean, we can look at people when they seem sorrowful, or, you know, we read people all the time where you're trying to pick up, do they really seem sincere or are they not sincere? Do they say the right words, but they didn't really seem sincere? And part of that is facial expressions, and that's what jurors are supposed to do, to pay attention. they should be watching everything.
Oh yeah.
And by the end of the case, they may be thinking back there, well, I don't even think that lawyer believed in this case. They could say stuff like that. Or, you know, I was watching a little bit of the opening statements with the Chauvin trial, and I thought the defense lawyer, he looked like he was stumbling. He was looking at his notes. He just didn't seem genuine. I was surprised that it just didn't, I don't know if he was a public defender or what he was, but he just seemed to be a little awkward. He seemed very awkward, jumping around. He didn't, you know, I've seen excellent lawyers, and I've seen lawyers that weren't excellent. So I'm not really getting down to that fella, but just watching him, even that, just did he really believe what he was saying? He was saying all these things, but was he just saying it, or did he really believe it himself?
Yeah, I feel like in that situation, you better choose your lawyer very carefully, or appoint the correct one, whichever way you go, because, I mean, especially when it's a public trial like that, this is going to get a lot of scrutiny. I can't remember the last public trial that we've all really been able to tune in for across America. I remember even back with the Casey Anthony trial, people watched that like it was Days of Our Lives every single day, and were really heavily invested in it because it was a huge deal. And so many people were upset by the outcome of that. And in this case, this is I feel like not a bigger deal, but this is something really heavy on so many people's hearts. So yeah, choosing a lawyer who doesn't look, I guess I can say he might have looked a little bit uneasy, and I bet he probably has a little bit of that in him, but you kind of got to put that behind you when you get up there and start doing your job.
Right. Oh yeah. And of course there's a lawyer that's, you know, all of a sudden he knows he's on the TV and probably a public defender only because if Chauvin wasn't rich as a police officer, and then if he's been fired, he has no income. So odds are it's a public defender, because a private lawyer for a case like that would probably want $200,000. So, I mean, you don't get a lawyer like that, you know, on a case like that for $20,000. So, so it's high stakes poker. But anyway, we'll see. But anyway, so just letting the people know that the courthouses will start opening up. And it'll be a slow process. I think they'll be very judicious, very methodical how they do it and try to spread cases out. Criminal cases will come first because there is a speedy trial rule. Criminal defendants, you know, could be sitting in jail with no bond. And what if they're, you know, if they drop charges 6 months later, you just serve 6 months in jail and they drop charges, or a jury finds you not guilty. You can't get that time back.
Right.
So obviously, our Constitution calls for the speedy trial.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, we just hope, pray, and trust that the justice system will do its job and keep justice reigning supreme. And that we can all move forward from this in the appropriate way. So
I know we're running out of time. This is Terrence Gross. We have 5 offices. My Pensacola phone number is 434-3333. Our website, which is a lot of information. We have 64 pages of information. We don't brag about our settlements. We don't brag about our verdicts. We just, it's, you know, talks about no fault, uninsured motorists, jury selection, all these things that we've talked about on past shows, and that website is grossandschuster.com, S-C-H-U-S-T-R, grossandschuster.com, and we have 5 lawyers that can answer your questions, meet you at home, meet you in the hospital, wherever you need.